This is Pastor Emery. Federal and state laws require that containers of most packaged foods, beverages, vitamins, and many other things list the ingredients on the package. But how many parents or children ever read or even heard the ingredients in the vaccines now being shot into the bloodstreams of millions of American children by various so-called health and school authorities? And does God's Bible have anything to say about such things? Are you curious about vaccines? Stay tuned.
It's time for America's Promise with Sheldon Emery of Phoenix, Arizona. Sit down with your Bible and listen as Pastor Emery preaches the Word of God, the good news of Christ's kingdom, and Bible truths about the United States of America as foretold in prophecy. This is God's promise to America, that the power and works of God will lead America to read, believe, and obey Christ's holy commands. We pray that these Bible teaching programs will be used of God to that end. During the broadcast, Pastor Emery will be offering literature, which you may request for your personal study. America's Promise Radio Bible Studies are sponsored by Lord's Covenant Church of Phoenix, Arizona. Won't you join us, please? And now, Pastor Sheldon Emery.
Thank you. This will be the second broadcast this month on the subject of the Bible in relation to what are called vaccines or immunization agents, which are promoted by many doctors, drug firms, and the United States government. The Word of God admonishes us in 1 Corinthians 3, verses 16 and 17, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are." Last week we saw that Christians are holy because they are set aside for God's use and for the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. They are a temple, and the temple is to be kept clean, for God is there. It is not possible to keep one's body clean when alien and often putrid substances are injected into its bloodstream. All over America this summer and fall, millions upon millions of young children and teenagers are being vaccinated because most state legislatures have voted for regulations which require children to have a half a dozen or up to a dozen shots of vaccines, or else they cannot attend schools. In most cases, the lawmakers haven't got the vaguest idea what the vaccines are, who manufactures them, how they are supposed to work, or what effect they might have on the healthy young bodies into which they are injected. They only know they have been told this is somehow supposed to prevent children from getting, quote, childhood diseases, unquote. The fact that the U.S. Health Department admitted a few years ago that most of the measles vaccines, which have been given to children for the last 10 years, have been practically worthless, seems not to enter the minds of many of our state's lawmakers. The fact that hundreds of Americans died from the swine flu vaccine some years ago, and unknown thousands were crippled, does not deter them from commanding vaccines in the name of health. Since the swine flu fiasco of 1976, I have lectured at public meetings on vaccines a number of times. At the end of almost every meeting, people would stand up in the question and answer session and relate how they had flu shots every fall and always got the flu. Until they quit getting flu shots, then they didn't get the flu anymore. Some expressed amazement at their own ignorance, because it took years to catch on they were getting the flu not from damp weather, but from the flu shots. The Soviet Union years ago quit using salk polio vaccine because so many of her people were getting polio from the vaccine. But here in America, the medical profession goes right on using it. Only here they don't call the disease it causes polio anymore. The doctors give it other, more esoteric names, and the paralyzed people and their relatives don't even know they have got good old-fashioned polio. The fact that more and more researchers in the health field are voicing warnings that vaccines cause infections, cancer, paralysis, and even the disease they are supposed to prevent is little heard in the hallowed halls of government officialdom. Well, Christians who believe the Bible know they are personally responsible to obey the Holy Scripture. And Christians who live in America, a nation whose medical profession tells us that 2 out of 3 of us will go to our graves with cancer, such Christians certainly have an obligation to investigate why it is that so many Christians will die untimely deaths of a disease which is practically unknown in more primitive societies. Something is injuring our bodies that is not injuring the so-called heathen. What is it? Do we have not only a right to know, but an obligation to find out? I think that Christians do. Last week we read God's instruction in Deuteronomy 23 that God's people were to keep their abode and their camp clean, because God walked in the camp of Israel and he wished to see no unclean thing among them. That is the same reason we read in 1 Corinthians 3 that our bodies are to be kept clean and undefiled because God is there. I am going to offer some free literature on the subject of vaccines a little later, and I do pray that every American citizen who is listening to this broadcast will sit down and write me a letter and say, "Pastor Emery, I want to read what you have to say about vaccines and about what you have to say about the Bible in relation to them. Please send me that free literature." I am going to give my address in just a few minutes. And while you are getting pencil or pen and paper, I want to read a little more in the Bible. Turn with me to Deuteronomy 14. These are God's instructions on clean and unclean foods. You may at first think I am talking about your table, but I am going to show you that it also has to do with vaccines. You listen, for what you learn in the next few minutes may have an effect on whether you live out your lifespan in good health or whether you spend years racked with disease and pain, being a mighty poor witness to the mercy of God who made you, and an atrocious testimony of the Christ who saved you. Deuteronomy 14, verse 3, "Thou shalt not eat any abominable thing." That word abominable means literally detestable. A modern English word which fits it would be filthy. Then God goes on to define what is permissible for his people to eat of the animals, birds, fishes, and other creatures, and what is forbidden and called abominable. And some of you good fundamentalists who are listening may be saying, he is going to tell us that old story that we are not supposed to eat pork because it is forbidden in the law. But we know better. Our ministers have told us all about that, and they've shown us how the law is no longer in effect. We can eat pork, and most of us do, and most of our Christian friends do also. Well, all right, let's not argue about the pig for a moment, even though it does say in verse 8, "And the swine, because it divideth the hoof, yet cheweth not the cud, it is unclean unto you. Ye shall not eat of their flesh, nor touch their dead carcass." I'm going to stop right here and give you my address for our free literature, and then I'm going to take your side of the argument that the law is put away. My address is Pastor Emery, America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. That's America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. All right, let us take your argument that the law is done away, and because of Acts 10, the pig is no longer to be called unclean, and apply it to the following passages in this same chapter, Deuteronomy 14. Remember, this is your argument, not mine, that you can disobey the following. Deuteronomy 14, verses 12 through 19. "But these are they of which ye shall not eat, the eagle, and the ossifrage, and the osprey, and the gleed, and the kite, and the vulture after his kind, and every raven after his kind, and the owl, and the nighthawk, and the cuckoo, and the hawk after his kind, the little owl, and the great owl, and the swan, and the pelican, and the gear eagle, and the cormorant, and the stork, and the heron after her kind, and the lapwing, and the bat, and every creeping thing that flieth is unclean unto you, they shall not be eaten." How many ministers in America who preach that it is all right to eat swine flesh will also preach that you can eat the vulture, the raven, the owl, and the heron. If God's law was put away in Christ, then why not have a vulture for Thanksgiving dinner instead of turkey? How about serving your preacher fried bats the next time you have him over for dinner? Would you call him a hypocrite if he refused to eat a bat and yet went home and ate a ham sandwich? How come Jesus died to cleanse the pig and didn't cleanse the vulture, the heron, and the bat at the same time? And what about verse 21? Remember now, I am taking your argument that these laws are all put away and we no longer need obey them. Verse 21, Deuteronomy 24, begins, "Ye shall not eat of anything that dieth of itself." How about you farmers? If you found a cow dead in the pasture, would you butcher it and eat it? How about you hunters up in Wisconsin and Minnesota and Michigan? If you went deer hunting this fall and found a dead deer that may have died of gunshot wounds a few days before, would you dress it out and take it home and eat it? If not, why not? Is there something wrong with it? Of course there is. God is no fool. He told Israel not to eat such things. He called the bat, the heron, and the vulture abominable things. And he said that animals that died of themselves were abominable. And at the same time, in the same breath, he said the pig was exactly that same kind of thing. But my subject today is not swine flesh. Instead, the phrase I am interested in here is that last one. Ye shall not eat of anything that dieth of itself. Because I know most of you, even those who eat swine, would not eat that cow you found dead in the pasture, nor that deer you found dead in the woods. Yet how many of you dear people know that the production of many of the so-called vaccines involves the giving of disease to animals? Then when that disease has brought that animal to near death, it is in a dying state, they then use parts of the bodies of that animal, including its blood, to make the vaccines. And that is what they inject into your once healthy children. You would not knowingly feed your child the meat or blood of an animal which had died of disease. But how many millions of Christian children have been injected with the blood or decaying fibers of an animal which has deliberately been killed by disease? The doctors don't call it food. If they did, you wouldn't take it. Instead, they call it vaccine or medicine, and you line your children up by the millions to take it into their bodies. This admonition against Israelites eating animals which have died of themselves, which means they died a slow death of injury or disease, is so important God gave it several times in the books of the law. The first time it was commanded was at Mount Sinai itself, along with the Ten Commandments. Exodus 22, verse 31. And ye shall be holy unto me, neither shall ye eat any flesh that is torn of beasts in the field, ye shall cast it to the dogs. Leviticus 17, verse 15 is for any person who inadvertently eats such an animal. Let every soul that eateth that which died of itself, or that which was torn with beasts, whether it be one of your own country or a stranger, he shall both wash his clothes and bathe himself in water, and be unclean until the even, then shall he be clean. Then a penalty is given if he does not take the necessary sanitation measures to cleanse himself after touching such animals. Verse 16, but if he wash them not, nor bathe his flesh, then he shall bear his iniquity. That phrase, bear his iniquity, is used many places in the Old Testament, and it is explained in several places, such as in Numbers 19 and verse 20, but the man that shall be unclean and shall not purify himself, that soul shall be cut off from among the congregation, because he hath defiled the sanctuary of the Lord. Remember how we read that the camp of Israel and the tabernacle were to be kept clean because it was God's sanctuary. Well, anyone who defiled that sanctuary was to be cut off. That means he was to be executed. Quite a penalty, wouldn't you think? Now, you may object to that, but consider this from God's point of view, and after all, that is what the Bible is, God's point of view. A man, defiled by the putrefying flesh of diseased or injured animals, if allowed to come into the sanctuary of God, could infect other people with filth and disease, so he was to be removed, by force if necessary. Now today, we find our state lawmakers are doing the exact opposite. The exact opposite. They are setting themselves up as gods who say to our children, you must defile your flesh with the pus, filth, and decaying blood of diseased and dying animals, and only then, after you are defiled, can you enter the sanctuary of the government-controlled school. God's command to Israel not to defile themselves with the flesh of animals which have died of disease or injury is repeated in other places. But that should be enough to prove that God's word does say that the touching or taking into the body of diseased animal flesh defiles the body of human beings. It should also be enough to state the principle that if the theory that the Old Testament law against eating swine flesh has been put away, then under that same theory, all of these other Old Testament laws are no longer valid. Then you can eat not only the pig, but you can eat the flesh of animals which died of disease or injury, and all that Pastor Emery is saying against the taking of vaccinations does not apply. You can take those vaccines, which are made by deliberately infecting animals such as monkeys with disease. Then after they have contracted the disease and are dying from it, their blood is drained out and the vaccine is made from their blood. By accepting that vaccine into your body, you are, in effect, eating the decayed and dying flesh and blood of animals. I have a book in my hand, written by a minister friend of mine, Dr. J. Franklin Snook, titled, To Heal the Nation. It is on God's Law for America, and I want to read you the first page from the chapter on health. Quote from page 81, To Heal the Nation. Scientists have found, from studying some of the mummies of ancient Egypt, that the Egyptian people suffered many of the same diseases with which modern Americans have to contend. The Egyptian cures, and that's in quotes, for injury or disease were so primitive they were little more than superstition, and in many cases would tend to aggravate the disease or injury rather than cure it. Snake bite victims were given magic water to drink, water that had been poured over a special idol. Egyptians applied worm's blood and ass's dung to embedded slivers. Other drugs included lizard's blood, ground swine's teeth, putrid meat, stinking fat, moisture from pig's ears, ass's hooves, various animal fats, and excreta from various insects or animals. And then there's a note here that this is quoted from a Papyrus Ebers, an ancient manuscript published about the time Moses was born in Egypt. The author of the book To Heal the Nation goes on, any person investigating modern vaccines is struck immediately by their similarity to the medicines of ancient Egypt. Modern vaccines are made from the blood of diseased animals or humans, from duck embryos, from monkeys, from ground animal organs, and other materials foreign to the human body. In the Grecian and Roman empires, where body cleanliness and sanitation were practiced, and vaccinations were unknown, there was little disease. However, where sanitation is disregarded and vaccinations practiced, disease is rampant. End of quote from the book To Heal the Nation. That chapter then continues, showing how obedience to God's laws on food and sanitation will prevent disease and foster health, and how violation of God's laws brings disease to the whole people. With almost every American over the age of 50 suffering from some form of debilitating disease, perhaps it is about time that Christians began to question ministers who tell them we need not obey God's holy laws. Now, in case you missed one phrase in that book, as I read the list of things from which modern vaccinations are made, let me read it over again. Quote, modern vaccines are made from the blood of diseased animals or humans. End of quote. I wonder how many of you parents know your children may be getting vaccines made from human blood, yes, even from the blood of dying babies. One lady wrote me recently with the story of her refusal to allow her children to take the polio vaccinations required by their school. She had found out that the polio vaccine had been made using the bodies of little babies which had been aborted but which had survived the abortion process. The tiny babies were then kept alive, transferred to a laboratory where they were injected with disease. Then when the little body was at the right stage of disease, monitored, of course, by the ghouls who work in such laboratories, the baby's blood was drained out and used to make vaccines. The little babies die, of course, but you see, that isn't murder, since the babies have been officially killed several days before when they were dragged from their mother's wombs. I don't suppose Planned Parenthood informs its teenage clients that their aborted babies may be used for such purposes. Well, this Christian mother was horrified at the thought of her children being injected with vaccines from such a source and tried to refuse to allow her children to be vaccinated for school. The school authorities refused to grant her request, saying that if she objected to the vaccine on religious grounds, there were other polio vaccines made other ways which she certainly should accept. So she discovered the government health and school authorities knew all about the polio vaccine being made from murdered and dying babies. They were not concerned. They approved of it, which might give some of you parents an idea of what kind of people run government health programs in the United States. Of course, murder is also forbidden in the Old Testament laws, but then I guess those who think all of those laws were put away in Christ condone murder as easily as they condone the polluting of our children's bodies with the diseased pus and blood of animals and of babies. God said of the end of this age that all nations have drunk of the wine of Babylon, therefore the nations are mad. The word means insane, and that is the only word which can fit the mental condition of state, federal, and school officials who condone such things in America. May God have mercy on our blind and deluded people. Until next week when I return, God willing, this is Pastor Emery saying goodbye. God bless you, read your Bibles, and pray for Christian America.